prayer time here before we get going into our lesson tonight. Obviously, continue to pray for the COVID-19 situation, praying for us to get back to some normalcy, praying for those that have contracted it, that they could be healed and get to feeling better. We just also want to continue to remember the church here at Harlan, the school, praying for it, and not just our school, but all the schools around the country. Also then continuing to remember the children's home and praying for them. And there are many still summer activities that are being planned in the work and in the making, so we'll just pray that those are able to move on as planned. We have some on the prayer list that we'd like to continue to remember. A new one added to the prayer wall this week. And if you haven't checked the prayer wall out yet on the website, go to cofcharlan.org and go to the prayer wall. You can see, you can post a prayer request on there. You can see other prayer requests that have been posted on there. Hal Rogers is one of them that has been posted on there. And he's going to be having some upcoming neck surgery in May or June. Till then, he's got a shot that they're going to try to put in his neck to help alleviate some of the pain. But just continue to pray for him as they go in and take out some bone spurs and try to alleviate the pain there in his neck. Also, a praise that was added to the list this week was Mark Peters' co-worker. Rita Earn had been in the hospital and had blood clot, and then they had to amputate her foot. She is home now, and so we are thankful for that. But continue to pray for her and as she has to get used to a new way of living as well. There are many on that prayer list that are still there. Joe Yunker. Continue to remember John Yunker with the passing of his mother a couple weeks ago. And then also to remember some of the elderly of our congregation that are having some failing health issues, such as Roger Roddy and Edie Maddox. Just continue to remember them. So let's begin this evening with going to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, and we just thank you for the time we had to meet around your son's table this morning. It's truly a wonderful thing to remember the great sacrifice displayed by your son, left the glories and the wonder of heaven to come to this earth to live as a human being and to sacrifice his life, his perfect life, his sinless life on the cross for us. For that we're eternally grateful. It's good to be back this evening, have time of study, doing some character studies of Bible characters, and we just pray, Lord, that we continue to learn much from these that are set forth in your word. We just continue to pray for one another. We pray for our brothers and sisters, the brothers and sisters in Christ across the country and around the world. Just continue to pray for the church here at Harlan. Pray for the Christian school. Pray for the COVID-19 situation, just as an entirety of it. We just pray, Lord, that you'd also then be with the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, be with Hal and his neck and help to alleviate the pain there, be with Rita. She was able to get home and will be rehabilitating there. We're just so thankful for the answered prayers that you've given to us. We're thankful that you are even concerned about our daily lives, and we know that you're more than concerned, that you're there for us. You want to be there, and you want for us to call on you. And that's what we're doing at this time. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, had a couple things this past week. Well, one of the things that I do want to share with you. We've been learning different ways of communication and how to go about that. And I know, especially at my household, whether it's some of the kids online doing school or college work or whatever it may be. We've been maybe using Zoom and different things. And so I was walking by the other day when I saw a classroom setting on there and all the little squares, different squares. And so you see those squares on even the screen in front of you. that I got looking at those. Kind of looks like a tic-tac-toe board. Maybe you want to play Hollywood Squares on it. But, you know, it all started long before that. Clear back in 1969, the Brady Bunch. They were far ahead of everybody with this Zoom thing. They had it all figured out long before that it ever got to anything today. But I thought that was kind of funny as I looked at the youth group online the other day, and I saw that, and it reminded me of the Brady Bunch with all the kids looking around at each other and everything. And so it was kind of a funny thing there. Then I was asked by a couple different people this week what I would be speaking on tonight. I had some different characters in mind. Actually, Hal Rogers was one of them that I was going to speak about. No, I wasn't going to speak about him. But Hal Rogers was one I was talking to that said he suggested the character that we're going to look at tonight. And I had somebody else ask me earlier what we were going to be speaking on. And I said, well, it's I can't remember. It's either Slippy, Slappy, Slimmy, Slammy, Samsonite. No, it's just Samson is what we're going to be speaking on tonight in our character study. Samson, the Old Testament character, the He-Man of the Old Testament, the strong guy. And I couldn't help but think, as you saw the title screen there for Samson, that it says strength. We think of that. But boy, he was one of the weakest men in the Bible. He really was. But ultimately, it led him to redemption. So let's get into our study tonight on Samson. First thing we'd like to look at is about Samson, is Samson's family. We kind of always try to start with first things we can find out about them, maybe where they came from, who their families were. I got a mint here we're going to hand out to the lucky winner again. If they can think of the name Samson, and it's actually pronounced Shimshon in the Hebrew. But what does it mean? Does anybody know? It means sun or sunlight. And really, that has no particular significance to the storyline whatsoever. Anybody that got that right, when we get back to services getting together, look me up and you win peppermint for tonight. All right. Samson's family, he was part of the Danites. He was from the tribe of Dan. We see that in Judges 13:2. We're not going to read that verse just yet because we'll get to it here in just a few minutes and read it with another portion of our lesson. But he was the son of a man named Manoah and his wife. You know, we're never really given Manoah's wife's name, so she is just always referred to as, you guessed it, Manoah's wife. He was born to Samson was born to a barren woman, and after a visit from an angel of the Lord, just as Hannah and Sarah, or maybe even Rebecca, this baby was a gift to that woman. Judges 13:2-3 says this: there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold now, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son." Now, there's a whole storyline that goes with that in Judges chapter 13 about the angel of the Lord coming to the wife and talking to the wife, and then Manoah wants him to talk to him, and we've covered that in the past, and so we're not going to get too much into that. What we do want to look at is how Samson was set apart for service, for a special service. He was given for a very special distinction in this time during the book of Judges. He was consecrated to the Lord even before his birth. He was given what we call and what we see in scriptures a Nazarite vow. A Nazarite vow. You can find that in Numbers chapter 6, verses 2 through 21. That's in your notes. It'd be a good thing to go back and study that this upcoming week so that you have a better idea of what that is. But basically, there are three things that we're told in there that if you're going to be a Nazarite, have this Nazarite vow, this was just something that you would take on maybe for a short period of time. We see in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul took on this Nazarite vow for a short period of time. Excuse me. But there were three main things that were to happen with this vow. Number one, no alcohol. No alcohol whatsoever. No, nothing from the grape juice as far as Adam was to, or Adam, as far as Samson was concerned. He couldn't even eat the seeds or even the husk on what they call the grape. He couldn't touch any of that. He was to stay away from all liquor. So no alcohol or liquor. No cutting of the hair. And then no touching of the dead. And these were the three main things from this Nazarite vow. Samson is the first record. Even though we've got it mentioned here in Numbers, he is the first recording of this Nazarite vow taken. In Judges 13:5, here's what it says. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. He was to live his whole life this way, not just for a short period of time, as we've seen other vows that were taken of this. And he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. That was his main purpose for life, is to deliver the Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And that's important for us to remember as we go on through this. Samson was perhaps the last of the great judges that we remember of in Israel. And he judged for about 20 years. We can see that in a couple different places, Judges 15:20 and in Judges 16:31. He was born to deliver Israel. He was given the challenge to step up and challenge the establishment of their involvement in idol worship. As we had just read in Judges 13:5, Israel had fallen into the wicked ways of their neighbors, the worshiping of foreign gods, as we kind of touched on this morning in our lesson in Zechariah. And so as we look at this, this is what Samson was to do, was to come in and make the people proud to be an Israelite, proud to worship God. We like to claim that we're proud to be an American, and, you know, God bless America, but so many times we don't act that way. And so the Israelites had the same thing. They say they were proud to be an Israelite, but they wanted to act like the Philistines, or they wanted to act like some other nation. But Samson was set to come in and to set things straight, and he did the best he could. And in a God fashion, he did that in a very unusual way. As we look here, the reason we ended up picking Samson to talk about tonight, other than that's what Hal wanted me to do, but when Hal and I was talking about Samson, it was all the troubles that he had in his life. Samson's not your typical superhero that we'd like to think of. I know many kids and young boys, they look to Samson as, since he's strong, boy, we all want to be like Samson. But as we said, he may have been physically strong, but he was so many times so spiritually and mentally weak, and would rise to the occasion when it come to riddles and things like that mentally, but then would not use his head when it came time for other decisions that he had to make. And so I know most of the characters that we've looked at so far, Aaron, Timothy, Josiah, different ones that we had looked at, we looked at the good qualities that they had, and we said we need to apply those things to our life. Tonight's lesson, most of the things that we look at with Samson, we need to be careful of. We need to be very, very careful of. And so I wanted to take a look at it from that direction as well. So Samson had many troubles in his life. Samson had trouble following the rules. And, you know, we run into this at at school or maybe camps or different things like it, that you'll run into some kids that they just seem to have difficulties following the rules. When really, the requirements of the rules, or in this case, the vow that he had made for him to be a Nazirite, they're really very simple. But you know what? Samson breaks them all. Let's look at Judges 13, verses 5 and 7, as we begin looking at this list of things here that Samson has trouble with. It says, "For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazirite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. But he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and now you shall not even drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, for the boy shall be a Nazirite to God from the womb to the day of his death." And so you got to go back and remember the Numbers chapter 6 that we talked about earlier, verses 2 through 21. You'll want to go back and read those so that you'll see some of the things that we're mentioning here as far as it goes with Samson and that he struggles with. The very first thing that I've got a series of things here for us to consider. The first one is he cannot cut his hair. We saw that in Judges 13:5. And then we saw where he was told that. And then in Judges 16, 17 through 19, we actually see and come to learn that when he gets together with Delilah, we know there's different times that she's trying to find out where his strength lies. And finally, in Judges 16, 17 through 19, he tells her, and while he is sleeping with his head in her lap, she has the men come in and shave his head, and it takes his strength away. It becomes as strong as a normal guy. And if you go back and you read just the four chapters about Samson, you'll see that he had incredible strength. And apparently, when he had his hair cut off, he just didn't shrink down to nothing. He still had his big, strong-looking physique, but he had no strength whatsoever. Just became as a normal man. Also, it was said that he shouldn't touch anything that is dead. Boy, he broke this one all over the place. First time we see, he touched a dead lion. Judges 14, 8 through 9. That's the one where he comes back and there's honey in the lion's mouth, and he ends up using that as a whole riddle. We see where he touches a donkey's jawbone in Judges 15 through 17. Once again, donkey is an unclean animal, and that jawbone, that donkey that he's swinging around as he's fighting there, I'm going to suggest that the donkey was dead. And so here he is swinging the unclean jawbone of a donkey around here. Then some things, and maybe I'm pushing a couple of these, but catching foxes. Foxes were an unclean animal, but if we remember right, he catches 300 foxes, and then he ties them in groups of two together and then lights their tails on fire. So he's touching something that's unclean, which he was forbidden to do. Judges 15, 4 and 5. Then as far as touching dead things again, he killed people. You can't get more dead than killing people. Judges 14 through 19, we see in his wedding that he has 30 companions that come with him, and he ends up killing 30 men. There to gain the clothes for 30 people. So there's 30 guys that are dead. Judges 15, 16, we see that he kills 1,000 men. I believe that was where he did that with the jawbone of the donkey. And then Judges 16, 27, in his death, when he pushed the pillars and broke down the building that collapsed on the Philistines, there was 3,000 men and women Now, he didn't actually touch them. That's why I say that one may be a stretch, but he was involved in their death, that's for sure. And so, for not touching anything dead, he broke that rule all over the place. And then as we move on, we see that Samson had trouble with women. Boy, the whole book of Samson, the whole book, the whole lesson of Samson in those four chapters, we see, first of all, in Judges 14, 1 through 4, that he finds a woman that said that he thought that she was very good looking. She looked good to him. And he tells his dad, "Dad, go down and get that girl for me. She's good looking." Now, we'll talk about that one just a little bit more as we close out our study. But then the next time we see, he goes and gets caught up with a harlot, a lady of the night, a prostitute, a whore, whatever description helps you to understand the type of women that Samson went after. And then Judges 16, 4 through 6 is where we see him run into Delilah, and we know the situation that brought him to that ultimate end. And he's not only were these all foreign women, they were all women that really didn't care for him and wanted him dead. They cared more for their country and more for what their nation wanted for them to do than what their relationship with Samson, but Samson didn't care because they looked good to him. Next we move on, we see in here that Samson had trouble with gambling. I know this isn't a popular one whenever it gets discussed here, but Judges 14, 12 through 18, we see that there's kind of a wager made over the clothes, and that's where those 30 people that he had killed. So his gambling problem led to people dying. His gambling problem took away from people who actually had the materials or the finances and gave it to someone who didn't. And we call that, you know, well, it's just a friendly wager. No, there's gambling, and we've done series and sermons on that. And I do believe that this is one of those signs where it throws the economic balance out of whack, gambling does. And that is a reminder to us that Samson struggled with that. He just thought it was a fun thing to talk about, and it cost people their lives. And there are millions of people today that ruin their lives due to gambling. Then the big one that I really want to talk about and look at tonight, as if his trouble with women's not bad enough, if his trouble with gambling's not bad enough, Samson had trouble with alcohol. And that is a big problem. It's a big problem in our world today. And as much as I hate to say it, it's a big problem, I believe, in the church today. And we see he was told in this Nazirite vow to stay away from that, not even to get close to that. We've looked before, last week at Timothy. We've made reference of other passages that Peter has mentioned about staying away from alcohol, and when we discussed Aaron, staying away from alcohol, if you've noticed, the good quality characteristics of those that we've looked at in the past few weeks all say to stay away from alcohol. And here's one: Samson messed with alcohol, and it got him in all sorts of trouble. And so just trying to save people some injury to themselves, stay away from alcohol. And we're going to look at a couple examples of this. And this is where you do need a Strong's Concordance or something of that nature would help to help guide you through these studies. But when he was at the wedding feast at Timnah, in Judges 14:10, it says there that this was a wedding feast. This is the Hebrew word here for feast is mishta. And it actually means it's not a feast like we would think of a Thanksgiving Day feast. This is more like a party, a drinking party, a carousing party. They would have parties for just for drinking, and this was the wedding feast. This is the word that was used there, is a like a wedding reception. And so many times, how many times do we see people get slammed or hear of people getting drunk at wedding feasts and wedding receptions and different things of that nature? The Hebrew word there, mishta, means to drink, or by implication, drinking, the act of. Also by implication, a banqueting is some other terminologies that you may see perhaps in the King James Version. Just generally a feast, to banquet, to drink, to feast, or to have feasted, or to have drank well, or drinking. And as we see those things, that was right in the middle of some bad decisions that Samson was making, and we see that alcohol was at the root of it. Then later on, we see it again. And we'll say this, this one takes a little more studying to get into it, but when he was sleeping on Delilah's lap, in Judges 16, verse 19, it says that he finally fell asleep with his head on Delilah's lap. And I've got a couple different quotes from some commentators in their studies on this. John Gill, he refers to it as a sleeping potion that was given to Samson from Delilah. Ultimately, alcohol. She knocked him out so that she could cut it, have his hair cut. Matthew Henry, another commentator of the Bible, quotes Josephus, who would have been a historian, comments much on the Bible and things going on during the Bible times. Josephus is saying that she gave him some intoxicating liquor, which laid him to sleep. He goes on to say, what opiate she might steal into his cup, we know not. But we would like to think that he drank unknowingly, but chances are he drank knowingly that it was wine or strong drink. And then I've got three verses, if you're following along there in your notes. Ecclesiastes 7:26, Proverbs 7:21 and 23, and Proverbs 7:26 through 27. Just about every one of the commentaries or books that I looked in all reference these verses, or at least one or more of these verses, in reference to Judges 16:9, while him sleeping on Delilah's lap. And we see how these things build. It all started with what I know other way to think of it, but your involvement with wild women. And we see how Proverbs talks about that. Solomon wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes talks about wild women, and if anybody would know about wild women, I'm sure it would be him. Had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he knew how they could lead one astray. And we know so many times that, especially to those young ones that are seeking out companionship and looking ultimately for a mate, that, you know, you think, oh, this person would be so good, they're so nice, they're so, but do they lead you towards God, or do they lead you away from God? And especially those three verses there talk about women that lead men away from, and they seem to be everything that the guy wants. Oh, they're nice, and they'll laugh with you, and they'll do this, and they'll do that. But if you really want to know type of a woman the Lord wants you to have, look into Proverbs 31. Would be a good place to go. Anyway, with that then, we had several verses, or a couple verses there in Proverbs warning about those that Samson would be around as far as leading him astray. But then I just want to look right at Proverbs 23, and I actually changed this in your from your study guide. If you've got your study guide, it says Proverbs 23, 33 through 35. But I decided to go ahead and look at the whole big list of this. And so we'll start at verse 29 for our reading. And because I think it gives a good insight to those that dabble with alcohol, to those that say alcohol's not a problem, to those who say, here's the reference, here's what's going on when alcohol is in your system. Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? How many times it just helps me to take the edge off. There's a lot of things you could do to do that. Prayer, Bible study, talking to fellow Christians, and they won't bring you woe and sorrow like alcohol will. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? How many times have you heard of somebody getting drunk and waking up and saying, I don't even know how that happened? The Bible's talking about this right now, very clear. Who has redness of the eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Oh, but it's just, it's good for the heart, is what so many people say. Well, you know what? You can get the same benefits and the antioxidants from grape juice. And you don't have to get schnookered to enjoy those benefits. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red in the cup, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. And your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. People say things when they get drunk that they didn't even know that they were thinking. And then they're sometimes shocked that they say when they're told what they said. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea. I kind of think these are kind of funny here. You lie down in the middle of the sea, getting tossed to and fro. Or like one who lies down on the top of a mast of a ship. I know when you're down on the boat down here that it can get a little tossing and turbulent down here. I can't imagine if you're at the top, you got to have a strong stomach for it. But then he goes on to say, they struck me, but I did not become ill. Do you ever hear people that do things, and we said that they'll not remember doing it, but then they get hurt, and then they don't even know why they got hurt, or they don't even realize what's being done to them. They beat me, but I didn't know it. I did not know it. And when shall I awake? And when I do, I'll seek another drink. That is stupid is, as stupid does. You want to get drunk and get shared in those things, it's going to lead you astray. It's going to cause problems in your life. I've never talked to somebody who's went out and got hammered that said, you know, that was the best thing that could happen to me. No, it's not. Everybody I've ever talked to, whether they're a social drinker or whether they go out and get drunk or whatever it may be, they always say that there's something along the lines that they've made bad and poor decisions that has ruined their life, if they don't learn from it. I did want to share this because I know I've talked to some of you about this before, and I've come to the realization as well as some of you. But have you ever noticed when you go to have a discussion with people, the only people that I've met that say that drinking alcohol of any kind is okay and all right with the Bible to do that are those who claim to be Christians. I have yet to find somebody in the world that claims to be a heathen or claims to not be a Christian, doesn't claim to follow God whatsoever, they'll always admit that drinking is wrong. Why is it that it's only the Christians that we have to convince that drinking alcohol is wrong? Why is that? I think it's because they're trying to make the Bible fit their life instead of the Bible dictating the direction of their life. Because every example we're given in Bible of the alcohol situation is not a good one. We've mentioned it three or four times now over the past 3 or 4 weeks, and it's never been a good situation. And so that's just a little bit of a heads up from the life of Samson that messed up his life. But clear back in the beginning, remember we said Samson was to be a deliverer to Israel, or a deliverer for Israel. On Judges 13:5, that was the whole reason for his birth. He is an ironic hero. Israel's hero, but a selfish, a belligerent man, and disobedient. However, God uses Samson's defiance to maintain Israel's national identity. Boy, oh boy, even though Samson was doing some things that he probably shouldn't have done, he was making Israel famous because they had this great, massive guy that was doing things in Israel that everybody was talking about. And it led them to be proud of their national identity and their desire to be a nation. Because remember, we've seen so far in many of our studies that the nation of Israel too many times wanted to be like everybody else. And they had stopped crying out to the Lord for deliverance from the Philistines. Judges 17:6, we see, this is after we read all about Samson here, and this is the next chapter, but it says something that I think is right for us to consider about Samson and his own life. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Do you think Samson did what was right in his own eyes? I know he did what was right in his own eyes. He did whatever he wanted to do. And he died young in life. And so many of the things that he did were bad, poor decisions. Now, I do want for us to consider some things as we draw this study to a close. As I engaged in this study, there were several different things that I noticed. Some I had noticed before in my studies previous times, but I'd never really gotten into them too much. But I wanted to point out that I think I got five things here that I hadn't considered too much before. These are not on your notes, so you might want to write them down. If not, you can catch the video again later, or write them down and you can study them yourself. But Judges 13:12. This is early on in the angel telling Manoah and his wife that his son is going to come. Manoah asked an interesting question, I thought, here as I was studying this out and thinking about it. Because I don't know that I see it too many times in Scripture other than this. Some might say they're going to dedicate him for service and different things. But Manoah asked, what shall the boy's mode of life or his vocation be? He just wanted to know, so what's he going to do for a living? What's he going to do? I'm pretty sure that God or the angel there didn't tell him he's going to grow up to be a drunkard and a womanizer. But yet that he was going to set Israel free. Number two, Judges 13:16. When Manoah and his wife and the angels having this whole discussion about the child, Manoah says to him, to the angel, come, let us prepare a burnt offering for you and celebrate this. And the angel says something interesting here. If you're going to prepare a burnt offering, don't give it to me. If you're going to do something special, give it to the Lord. And so many times I think that maybe that's the way we need to be. We are all about wanting, oh, what could we do for this person or what could we do for that person? And the angel says, you know what? Offer it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. And isn't that the way we should live our life, is giving it to the Lord? Judges 14:3-7. Samson made reference to wanting a certain woman because she looked good to him. Now, we say that Samson, well, he was, you know, wanting a nice-looking girl, a good-looking girl. But I will say this, at least in this instance, the first one, and the girl that he went down and talked to his dad about going and getting and that whole situation where they married her and then gave her, took her back, was a mess in Judges 14. And we'll discuss that here a little bit more. But it says there in verse 4 of chapter 14 that the Lord was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, something I want for us to understand, and in many of the books that I was reading and commentaries, it may say that the Lord allowed for Samson to go after this foreign woman, even if he liked her because she looked good. The Lord allowed that and didn't condemn him this time. The next two times we see wasn't exactly what he was hoping for. But it said that the Lord was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. This was all part of God's plan to try to get in to destroy the Philistines. And ultimately, as we've said before, even bad things that happen, God uses to his glory, even in Samson's death. This is not God giving permission in this one bad example of Samson for Christians or God, God's children to be unequally yoked with the world. The fourth one that I had then is Judges 14:20. This kind of goes back to Samson has his best man in his wedding, and he leaves, and when he comes back, the father had given his wife, her father had given him his wife to his best man. And I found it interesting in Judges 14:20, it says, "And when Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best friend." He may have been his best friend before that, but definitely after that, just said who had been his best friend. I find that one kind of humorous in our study. And then Judges 16:20 through 21. This one I've actually thought about before, but now maybe in a little bit different light. That when Samson awakes after having his hair cut off, he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And then it goes on to say that the Philistines gouged his eyes out. Samson went spiritually blind long before he ever went physically blind. Samson went blind to gambling, to foreign women. He went blind to alcohol. He went blind to all sorts of things long before they ever gouged his eyes out. When he finally then succumbed to the Philistines, they gouged his eyes out and took his physical sight from him. I couldn't help but think, if they would have taken his physical sight from him earlier, maybe he wouldn't have got into so much spiritual trouble. Maybe that's a lesson for us to learn. Matter of fact, Jesus talks about that in the New Testament, where he says, if it looking causes you to sin, pluck your eye out. The lesson here is to learn from Samson and his bad choices. Not to go out and do them and to do the same things he did, but to learn from him. His life had a glorious beginning, but his choices in life led to misery and separation from God, and ultimately led to a very tragic end. So here's our reminder as we close out. Be strong spiritually. It will far outlast the physical strength that you have. And if you're here with us tonight and you want to know more about Jesus, and I know we haven't talked about coming to him and in this lesson, but we've talked about living a life for him and what to do to stay away from those things. But if you want to come to Jesus the way the Bible says, it starts with a belief in him that he is the Son of God. When you understand who he is and what he's done for us, you'll understand that there's repentance that needs to take place. A change of mind that produces a change of action. That you'll need to confess him as Lord and what he's done for you on the cross and the life that he lived. We'll confess all of those things, that he is our Lord and Savior. That you'll want to be immersed. You'll be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you'll live a faithful life for him. If you want to know more about that, be happy to contact us on the church's website, cfcharlan.org. There's a contact page that you can get in touch with us there. Call us up, leave a message, whatever it takes. But we'd be happy to discuss that and talk to you about that. As we get ready to close out tonight, don't forget church or in support of the ministry here at Harlan, to send your tithes and offerings to 17108 State Road 37 here in Harlan, 467-43. And so we're just thankful to be able to share with you. We'd love to close out in a word of prayer as we bring this session to an end. Our Father and God in heaven, we just thank you so much for the example that we could look at tonight of Samson. Not things to look at in our life to do, but things to stay away from. But the exciting thing that we need to consider and to remember is, even though Samson messed up, even though Samson was very physically strong, sometimes very spiritually weak, that he was redeemed, brought back to you. How do we know that? Because we see Samson mentioned in the book of Hebrews, in the hall of faith, in Hebrews chapter 11. When the writer there talks about those that he wished they could talk about more, and Samson was one of them. And boy, this gives us encouragement to know that people can mess up. And maybe we struggle with impure thoughts. Maybe we struggle with alcohol. Maybe we struggle with gambling. Maybe we struggle with so many things in our life. But yet if we live a life that we devote to you, that we commit to you, that you will help us in that walk. You will help us to put those wicked and evil things behind us. Help us to draw you closer to us and draw us closer to your side. We just ask for a blessing upon the lesson. We just pray that it would be a help to those who need it and an encouragement to those that need it. But most importantly, that we would draw ourselves closer to the side of Jesus Christ. For he is the deliverer, not just of a nation, but for all mankind, and will deliver us from our sins if we only trust in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. God bless.